All right, welcome back to another exciting edition of the SB Nation Houston podcast. With me, as always, is Dylan Gwynn of Sports Talk 790. Sir, how are you doing?
Doing just fine. Glad to be here.
All right, now we're kind of in the middle of college football season as we record today. Starts tonight. The National Football League doesn't start quite yet, but the Texans do have, even though the team seems to be shaping up as far as who you think will make the roster, there have been a few things been happening that have been quite interesting. Top of the list probably would be Arian Foster and I guess what we could call Twittergate. Yeah. I mean, from the fantasy football thing where you call people sick, now he's tweeting out pictures of his hamstring. I mean, what do you think of this?
It's a radical upgrade over the Brett Favre tweet.
I would much rather see pictures of Foster's hamstring than
other parts of the anatomy. So, I mean, it is an upgrade at least from that perspective.
True.
I think my first reaction, and actually I was with you when I saw it the first time. So, I mean, my first reaction was, hey, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, his line was funny. The anti, the white stuff around the edge was the anti-awesomeness.
But then, you know, you start thinking about these things, and Twitter is this brand new thing, I mean, pretty much still. And we're
to that point, if Babe Ruth had Twitter, if Mickey Mantle had Twitter, Wilt Chamberlain had Twitter,
some of those guys would not be held in the kind of esteem as which they are today.
And that's
really, you know, a big part of this too, because a lot of these old timers are like, oh man, you know, like especially with the Chris Johnson tweet, the SDFU tweet. Yeah. It's like, well, I could never see Walter Payton doing that. Well, Walter Payton didn't have a Twitter account.
Yeah, he didn't know what it was.
I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, a lot of these players today.
Jim Brown would have said a few things.
Exactly. And it's not to excuse what they're doing. I mean, Chris Johnson shouldn't have done what he did, and Arian Foster shouldn't have done what he did. But these guys are dealing with problems that dudes 30 or 40 years ago did not ever have to deal with.
Well, it's a different standard. I mean, we talked about I mentioned Babe Ruth just a minute ago. Back in those days, you had reporters literally protecting the image of Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd go out and see him with other women, you know, getting drunk the night before a game. Wouldn't even bring it up. Today, I mean, you got people in the with cell phone cameras. Remember Larry Eustachy at Iowa State with the co-eds. It's a different world. And I mean, overall, I didn't have a huge problem with Foster. I get why Rick Smith was upset that he should stay internally, but I think you hit it. I think it's just a different age.
Yeah, I'm going to actually for once agree with Rick Smith on this. I think
do we need a breaking news sounder? I don't know if I have that capability.
It certainly has never happened before. I think it's a big deal. I think it's almost akin to tweeting a play out of your playbook.
Ooh,
because what happens?
That bad?
Yeah, because these other teams have doctors too. And if I were, you know, if this were Monty Brizell's knee or hamstring, I wouldn't really care about
Brizell?
No, the hillbilly's hamstring doesn't really, you know, do much for me. But this is Arian Foster we're talking about. This
Christmas is Brizell jersey is coming.
Exactly. This is last year's leading rusher in the NFL. If I'm a team the Texans are lining up against in week one, I'd like to see that.
You think they're taking shots? To that point, I believe it was Teddy Bruschi of ESPN. I think this was something that Pro Football tweeted out, but apparently, and I didn't see this when it happened, but apparently Teddy Bruschi said, yeah, I'd go after it.
Absolutely you would. Same thing with Peyton Manning. I mean, I would go after his
neck. Yeah.
You know, I'd go after the hammy. I mean, this is the world we live in where this is how you play. It's show biz. It's not show friends. If your opponent out there has a weakness, you need to take advantage of it. Same thing in boxing. I mean, you know, when a guy opens
a cut over the eye.
Yeah, you don't go to the other eye because he's already got a cut over that one. No, you open it until his eye floods with blood and he can't see out of it anymore.
Certainly got a little more graphic.
Well, you know, that is the world.
SB Nation After Dark. We might need to censor this.
The internet only version, right?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that's the world they live in. And I'm not going to be surprised at all if people go after his hammy, which is why if he's anything less than 100%, even if he's like 99%, I still wouldn't play him in this game.
No, I mean, Indianapolis has a soft run defense.
Yes.
We've seen that historically over quite a while. Derek Ward's not a game breaker, but I mean, he's solid.
Ben Tate. He's reliable.
Yeah, right. He's reliable. And Ben Tate showed to have some, have some flashes and maybe have the ability to be Arian Foster light. So I think it's something you could go with week one. Like you said, we talked about this with Peyton Manning. Do you risk a full season to go week one?
As important as that game is for the Texans, and don't get me wrong, it is crushingly important because if the Texans only go 9-7 this year, which would be a 3-game improvement over what they were last year, the only way they're making the playoffs is if they sweep the Colts.
Yeah.
You have to sweep them, I think. And this is the one you get at home, which is really the must win. You got to get the one at home. And I mean, it's massively important, but still, I don't think you ruin Arian Foster's entire season potentially off of this.
No, I completely agree. Going into this last preseason game, it is tonight as we record this. I don't think anyone that's listening to this will probably be watching. If they do, maybe.
Maybe no one who's even talking about this will be watching.
I won't. College football's on tonight. I might check out half of the first quarter in between commercial breaks. But
sure, get some web gems off the ESPN.
You never know. But after this game, we'll get the final cut downs. The roster will get to, was it 55, 56, somewhere in that range?
Yeah.
Right now, they're at 80. The guys that were when you cut from 90 to 80, there usually aren't any name guys you really expected to make this team. If they get cut, it's because they had no chance. But one of those guys, I believe, is at least semi-interesting because of what it signifies with the Texans' past, and that was Antoine Molden. He's a third-round pick in 2008. And
long and distinguished line of third-round picks.
That's
for the,
exactly where I'm going. It seems to be a very, very cursed position. I broke this down year by year on my blog the other day, but I mean, you'd have to say Eric Winston, a non-Pro Bowler, is the best ever third-round pick the Texans have ever had.
No argument.
I mean, go down the list. You got Antoine Peake. You've got Seth Wand. Jacoby Jones it just goes on and on, and those are actually probably some of the better guys.
It's a veritable who's who of who cares.
Yeah,
with the exception of the one guy you named, Eric Winston. But you know what that's a reflection of? Because let's face it, I mean everybody's very familiar with the first two rounds.
Fans could do the first round.
Fans know exactly in the first two rounds. I can say they're hitting 100%, but fans know who those players are. What that's a reflection of is how god-awful the personnel evaluation for this team has been.
One Mr. Charlie Casserly?
Yeah.
Well, no, it has extended.
And Rick Smith as well. I mean,
it has extended.
It's not like any of that changed when Rick Smith took over. So, I mean, when you look at a team that misses on middle-of-the-road guys
consistently,
year in and year out, with the exception of 1 year, then you've got to say to yourself, you know what? This is a team that doesn't know how to evaluate talent. You know, because you're missing on guys that you should know about. Guys that aren't, like, on ESPN every single weekend.
Right, guys that Mel Kiper hasn't been talking about for a year.
That's where you're supposed to make your money.
Right.
I could sit here and tell you about Andre Johnson. I could tell
you
about...
Yeah, that's an easy one.
Come on. I mean, that's not hard at all. I saw all of his games. But those third-round dudes, even if they played for major D1 teams... You probably didn't know who they were.
Yeah, outside of the big guys that got suspended or something like that, you really haven't heard of these guys.
Earl Mitchell played for Arizona, but you were really watching for Brooks Reed. You weren't watching for Earl Mitchell, and he was their third rounder last year. So I mean, it's one of those things where that's where you make your money if you're a personnel guy, and it's a reflection on what up until this year has been really.
Well, that's why I fully
disastrous.
Support what they did this year by just trading away the third round pick. Let's just not even, don't worry about it. Let's trade up in the draft. Let's just get that pick off the
table.
We
know this isn't going to work.
It's
anyway,
not going to work out very well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now we'll see what Brandon Harris, which is what they gave up the third round pick, ends up doing. But I completely support from here on out, you know, screw it. Just get rid of the pick. Let's move on.
It's automatic trade up. Jeez. It's sad, but true.
Yeah.
And it's also sad that
Speaking of sad but true, the Aggies are going to the SEC. How do you like that for transition?
Did that work for you? That was smooth.
Okay.
I'm following you.
All right.
I'm with you.
So let's start with the Aggies, then we'll move on to big picture with the remaining members of the once known Big 12 Conference. Aggies to the SEC. We talked about this before. Much bigger, you know, much tougher schedule. At least initially, they're going to lose out on money. Neither of us see a recruiting advantage. I mean, it sounds like they're going to be there next season.
Yeah.
How do you see this playing out?
From a football on the field perspective, in terms of what the Aggies are actually going to be able to accomplish there on the field, I don't like the deal at all. From a big picture college football fan perspective, I like it. because I think
signifies what's coming.
This is signifying the great shift, the great migration of teams.
Great migration.
Into
are they Buffalo? Well, that was Colorado. But.
Yeah, exactly. They are the Donner Party, if you will. They're going out there trying to find new land, and I think it's going to lead to the super conferences, which I think is going to lead to a playoff. So I mean, from that perspective, I can get behind it. Now, as far as the recruiting angle this goes, there are so many people out there who are disastrously wrong on this.
The big
thing that's been out there is that the SEC already recruits in Texas. So you're not losing anything there by allowing the SEC in. That is really, really misunderstood by a lot of people. There are 53 players from the state of Texas that are currently in the SEC. Of those 53, half of them play for LSU in Arkansas.
Border states to Texas.
So it is true that SEC schools that border Texas recruit heavily in Texas, but the Alabamas, the Auburns, the Tennessees, the Kentuckys, those traditional Deep South old line SEC teams really don't. In fact, I think Alabama has two players from Texas on their roster. They really don't. So if you start bringing them in here.
All of a sudden they have games in Texas.
In Texas.
They can start telling mamas you can see your kid.
Exactly right. So you are bringing in 10 others. I mean, talk about 26 players divided among 10 other schools. You're bringing in 10 schools that really don't recruit here very heavily, and all of a sudden they're going to have a foothold in Texas every single year. It's bad for A&M, and it's going to be bad for UT. I mean,
OU
as well. It's bad for everybody.
Right. It doesn't just affect – you're exactly right. It doesn't just affect the Aggies. Unfortunately, it'll affect Texas.
Yes.
It'll affect Texas Tech, Baylor, on down the list.
And could that become – something that gives UT another shove in the direction of becoming an independent?
Well, let's talk about that. Yeah. Now, there's been some speculation. It seems like, at least in my opinion, the favorite at this point is either they add a BYU or whoever it may be and stay with the Big 12, or possibly if they can work out some sort of agreement with the Longhorn Network in the Pac-10, possibly with Oklahoma State, Oklahoma and Texas Tech move the Pac-12. What would you, if you were handicapping, what would you see as the most likely of the moves right now?
Most likely of the moves right now, I think the Big 12 stays together for a few more years.
Yeah.
Probably three. I think in order to salvage the Big 12, though, you have to try to add somebody in a top 20 television market.
Yeah.
And I think there are three schools.
And not just a top 20 television market, but a big school in the top 10, you know, because you had Rice, they're in Houston, but they don't get you the Houston market.
Well, neither does U of H. I mean,
exactly.
None of those teams do. I mean, I would look at it this way, and I looked at the numbers for the television markets this morning. I would, if I were trying to save the Big 12, which might be a fool's errand anyway, but if I were doing it, I would go very seriously to Arizona and Arizona State. Phoenix is the 12th largest television market in the country. It's one of the fastest, if not the fastest growing cities in the country. I would go there. Colorado State, I know you and I have talked about this before.
Yeah.
But I think Denver.
I don't know if they get you the Denver market, but I see where you're going
Denver
with it.
Denver is the 18th largest television market in the country. It's in that top 20 group. Colorado State might be a team you could steal away too. You're not going to get all three of those, but if you did, that brings you back up. It brings you back up to 12.
Yeah.
You know, but I would go for at least one of those and you got to get a top 20 market. You can't, this junk about U of H and SMU is embarrassing to even talk about. I mean,
right.
you already have those markets anyway, and those schools don't bring you anything extra.
Yeah, I completely agree. People misunderstand this as when they're talking about teams to add, they'll talk about a TCU. They think about results on the field. But you're right. What are we talking about ultimately? We're talking about TV contracts. We talked about with A&M how they're losing money. In the Longhorn Network, again, TV contracts. So you're completely right. You got to focus on whether it be Denver, St. Louis, you know, some market.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Even Pittsburgh, I think.
Pittsburgh is an intriguing option. I mean, geographically, you want
makes
to send,
no sense.
Yeah, you don't want to send your volleyball team out to Pittsburgh.
Neither did TCU in the Big East make any sense.
No, it didn't. I think they might lose money on that.
They might, but at the same time, I mean, Pittsburgh is just outside the top 20. So, I mean, it doesn't bring you a major market in that sense, but
but it's better than what you're getting in with Iowa State.
And Pennsylvania is not awful recruiting grounds
for
football either.
No. They've got Dan Marino, they've got a rich quarterback.
Joe Montana.
Joe
Namath, I think. You know, so, I mean, you look at the kind of players that have come out of the state of Pennsylvania. I mean, you know, the LeVar Arrington came out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are players
Homer.
There too. You know, but this is the first one that comes to mind. But, you know, they got some players there. The question with the Pac-12 move with OU, though, is would that invitation come if Texas were not a part of it?
I don't think it will.
And I don't think it would either. I mean, OU does not deliver you any market of significance, and they've got an excellent football team. So not basically, conferences are going to be okay with excellent teams coming in if those teams
if they're bringing those
money.
Dollars,
but,
TV
but if
markets.
You're, if you're just bringing in a great team with no money behind it, then all you did was just,
Well, I think that's why, getting back to the Aggies, I think that's why the Aggies made a lot of sense for the SEC, because it gets you a piece of the Houston and the Dallas markets while not, you know, drastically increasing the difficulty of your schedule. And when we talk about, you know, who will be that 14th team in the SEC, I think that's why you might see Clemson. Okay, so then ultimately we both think it'll be at least Big 12 for a little while. But do you lead Pac-12 or do you lean independent at this point?
Oh, no,
Texas?
For UT, I lean independent.
Okay, they'd have to work out a deal with the BCS like Notre Dame did.
I don't think UT's not going to walk away from $300 million, and I don't see how the Pac-12 is going to fix it that the Longhorn Network.
Well, the only thing and this is something that was talked about in the article by Kirk Bowles from the Austin American Statesman, but he did, and I didn't remember this until he mentioned it, but the Pac-12, I don't know if they have it this year or if there's something that they're working on, but we'll have 5 to 6 regional networks inside the overall Pac-12 TV deal.
Really?
Like a Pac-12 Arizona, a Pac-12 Washington, a Pac-12 Oregon. It seems possible that the Longhorn Network could be another one of those regional networks inside the bigger overall Pac-12 TV network.
Okay, well, if that's the case, if they're already talking about incorporating...
But where does that leave Texas Tech and Oklahoma State? I guess that was what you'd have to figure out.
Yeah. But they might, just to be a part of the big club, they might just go along with this. Like, I think Texas Tech and Oklahoma State know who they are.
Yeah.
They're not, you know.
From what I've read, Oklahoma State has basically just said, whatever you want, Sooners.
Yeah, exactly.
We're along for the ride.
I don't think they know who they are. They know they're the cute chick, not the hot chick. So
yeah.
they're just trying to
the shine box.
Yeah. they're just trying to get in the club. They don't really care, I don't think.
All right, well, it'll certainly be something interesting to follow. I mean, there are a lot of people, this guy, Kirk Bowles from the Statesman, apparently thinks a lot of the stuff with Oklahoma could unravel pretty quickly. So, I mean, hell, we might have some answers before we can even get to the Texas OU game in October.
Well, I tell you what, he does, he's got some opinions.
Yeah.
He goes out there on a few of them, but I think the premise of what he's saying is correct, though, that Texas would love it if OU took that first step. That way, Texas...
They don't look like the bad guys.
They don't look like the bad guys.
They leave OU holding the bag.
And look, if there's a way of incorporating the Longhorn Network out there, then maybe this is the right move.
I'm all in favor of sticking to the Sooners one more way. All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Dylan. It'll be certainly interesting to follow over the next couple months.
Absolutely. Anytime.